Hey everyone, welcome to our next episode of Taking Stock. I am really excited to welcome Tom Finnegan to today's discussion. Tom is the co-founder and CEO of Clarkson Consulting, i.e. my boss. And more importantly, he is the newly coined Wall Street Journal bestselling author for his recently published book, Amplifiers. And we're going to talk about the book today. We're going to talk about many of the concepts in the book. We're going to talk about followership. We're going to talk about leadership. We're going to talk about the combination of followership and leadership and how that brings about amplifiers in an organization. Tom, in the book and in our conversation, draws upon many of his experiences throughout his career and provides some really interesting perspective that I know you'll all really enjoy. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you on the other side. Hey, Tom, welcome to Taking Stock, or welcome back to Taking Stock, let me say.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
So I am super excited to be able to introduce you as not just Tom Finnegan, but Tom Finnegan, Wall Street Journal bestselling author. How does that sound to you?
Sounds wonderful. Thank you. It's I've had a lot of help, of course.
It's an awesome accomplishment. You know, we've known each other for 14 years, maybe a little bit longer before I joined Clarkston. But ever since I could remember, like as far back as I can remember, you've always talked about writing a book. And I know there's been a couple of ideas that have been kind of circulating in your mind in terms of what you wanted to write about. So why now? What prompted you to write Amplifiers now? And why this topic?
Yeah, so you're right. I've always had a number of different book ideas floating around, and frankly still do. Mm-hmm. But I was approached by a publisher, recruited by a publisher to get to write a book. And as I checked in with Michelle, she confirmed that it was legitimate, you know, as opposed to a sort of a fly by night, we'll publish anything you want to write book.
Yep.
And so we, you know, we went through the process of negotiating the contract and determining what the right topic was. Mm-hmm. That was both something that I was passionate about, and they felt like there was a gap in the market, and mm-hmm. this the thought about amplifiers is really what filled that gap. There's just not a lot of, you know, the research and writing on leadership is pretty narrow. There's a lot of it, but it's a lot of the same stuff repeated.
Sure.
And I feel like there are some gaps. You know, Jim Collins filled a gap with his Level 5 Leader. I mm-hmm. thought that was tremendous work. And then this concept of how followership plays into leadership is really not something that's well written about. And I thought it was worthy of exploration and played out in a lot of the research and experience that we've had dealing with some of these leadership teams of some of our global clients.
So it was somewhat of a, as most things are with you, right? There's a method to it and somewhat of a methodical process as you think through it. But you also are driven by an entrepreneurial spirit. And I have to think that there was some sort of an aha moment or experience where kind of this idea of amplifiers all came together for you, where it was like, just, wow, there's a void in the market, and, or companies don't get this, or, you just observe something that was obviously so lacking in followership. Was there something that a specific moment that you could think back upon where this just came to light for you?
Yeah, I think as I was approached by the publisher and I was thinking through my different topic ideas, you know, of course I had the thought of, we'll never let a good pandemic go to waste. And so I thought it was a good time from that perspective, not being on an airplane. I had a little more time to do
that. Sure. Yep.
But the concept of followership grew out of our Clarkston's leadership experience. Mm-hmm. Probably 5 or 6 years ago, as we were delving into the leadership traits, one of the leadership traits that we identified was followership. And when we did that, we facilitate a discussion on that in the leadership experience. And as I studied that more, you could really start to see how some of the greatest business leaders and corporate leaders and you know, even outside of business, how the greatest leaders also are very good followers. And it's amazing that crystallized that thought process of really continuing to delve deeper into that and try to learn some lessons from them so that we can, you know, apply them to others.
Yeah. So let's start there around the topic of followership. So, you know, prior to reading Amplifiers, I had never really thought about it, followership, the way you frame it out. I always thought about followership, and you and I have had conversations about when we talk about leaders in the firm, we talk about what type of followership does that leader have, i.e. Tom is a great leader. He has an army of stewards who would follow behind him. I never thought about the unique traits that make someone a great follower. I never thought about it from the follower's perspective and how important that is to a company's success. So, you know, what made you think about it from the follower's perspective versus from the leader's perspective?
I think it's critical that we look at the motives and styles of followers.
Yeah.
In order for us to tap them to produce the results that organizations need, followers. What makes a great follower is different in part than what makes a great leader, and the ability to synthesize those great followers. Traits and the great leader traits clearly produce outsized results.
Yeah.
So for example, as we pick our teams, we need people that, you know, the handler, for example, those people that when we leave the room, we know that they're going to carry out the task at hand, the strategy, get the results produced. You know, there are, you know, the consigliere. Who do we ask, you know, in our dark moments when we have to make a difficult decision? Who do we pull in that's not one of our immediate peers, but we want to reach down into the organization to understand what's actually going on in the ground? Or it could be someone from outside the organization. Who do we confide in about the thought process we're going through in order to reach a conclusion and battle test it, if you will, before the decision's made? And it's really the consiglieres that end up grow. They watch and study how those leaders think. Helps them think better, and you can see how they use that as they grow in their careers as well.
Yeah, I love how you talk about the lone nut story, and I chuckle at the idea of you kind of sitting on YouTube and watching that video. But it is in my opinion such a great example of a lot of the traits that you talk about in Amplifiers, but specifically the basic concept, right? The guy who's out there dancing first, you know, the leader, you know, is nothing without that second person, that follower who's out there, and the courage that is required, not just for that first dancer, the leader, but for the follower to go out there behind him. And the influence, right, that follower has, and then you see everything that happens behind him.
Exactly. And that's a silly example, you know, the dancing festival, the lone nut dancing in a festival. But it becomes very real, for example, in the emission scandal at Volkswagen. There's a whole engineering department that was trying to basically lie to the California Air Regulatory Board about the emissions that were getting produced out of their vehicles. So, you know, that's an example where they lacked the courage to stand up to do the right thing.
Sure.
And it was cultural.
Yeah. But so if this is so important, why is there such a stigma associated with being a follower? I mean, from, you know, things that we learn from our parents, you know, don't follow, you know, stand on your own, be an independent thinker, you know, the amount of times, you know, would you jump off the Brooklyn Bridge if they did too? Why is there such a stigma associated with it?
Well, I think we hold up leaders or people we think are leaders in high regard. And if you think about a leader and their followers, it's almost always a single leader and multiple followers.
Mm-hmm.
So that right there, there's a multiplier effect. And most people aren't, you know, immediately born into a position of power. You know, they're not just arbitrarily, you know, unless you're a monarch or, you know, the dictator's son, are you put in that place at the top. So you have to cut your teeth learning and growing. And the folks that are out, you know, out in left field, if you will, and can't cut their teeth in good followership are excommunicated. They cannot develop their careers. If they're that independent and thinkers, you know, that don't follow direction or aren't, you know, aligned with the company mission or vision.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's flip it, if we can, and think about it from the leader's perspective. All right. So one of the things that you talk about, and I couldn't agree more, is this idea of real versus artificial leadership, right? Artificial leaders being followed primarily because of their roles, and effective leaders more so being followed because of their influence. All right. So talk about some of the traits that you've observed in your career that separates, you know, real leadership versus artificial leadership.
Yeah, there's some seductive elements to leadership. And it's difficult for people to separate the fact from fiction in some regards. So charisma is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
People can follow what they think is a charismatic leader, and they come to realize that he's all sizzle and no steak.
Mm-hmm.
Or as in Texas, they say, he's all hat and no cattle. and where they realize that the actions don't match the words. And, you know, there have been some, you know, big Ponzi schemes that have grown up like that. You know, what happened at Enron was a lot of that. There was just a lot of talk, but not enough substance or meaningful strategy behind it. And there's definitely a trap in that example. Some companies that are serial acquirers, they think they have growth, but really they're building the goodwill on their balance sheet, and they're building debt. And ultimately, you know, that works when the music's playing, but when the music stops, those companies unravel. And we saw that in 2008. We saw that with some of our retail clients that had high leverage on their balance sheet and couldn't weigh through this the pandemic.
I agree with all of that. And one of the other traits that you characterize in artificial leadership is someone who's surrounded by yes people. One of the things I've always admired about you is you love a good debate. One of my favorite television shows of all time, The West Wing. There's a Democratic president who hires in the White House counsel's office a Republican lawyer to come work for him, and she's confused as to why the president would want to hire her. And the chief of staff says quite simply, "The president likes smart people who disagree with him," and I think that's a void. If you look at some of the leaders that we see in corporate America or in the world today, they want people telling them yes, right? And I think there's a humility that's required in a leader for them to realize that their answer isn't always the right one, and they're going to be better by having people around them who are telling them no and who are disagreeing with them and challenging their assumptions. It's hard to find, though.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we call that the trusted skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
They need to have enough substance and content and experience, and then they also need to have the courage to tell truth to power.
Yeah.
When leaders or titled executives have an idea that's a bad idea and they're about ready to implement it and no one has the courage mm-hmm. to share their critique of that idea, bad outcomes inevitably result.
So let's talk about the concept of your book, right, is that it brings together, and what I found unique about the book is that it brings together these concepts of leadership and followership, right? And that kind of essentially is what we're talking about with amplifiers. And in fact, the traits of leadership and followership are not mutually exclusive, right? Leaders need to follow, and followers in many ways also create critical leaders within an organization, right? That's the, in many ways, that's the concept of amplifiers. And why are they so hard to find? Why is it so hard to find amplifiers within an organization? What are some of the challenges either companies have in developing amplifiers, scouting amplifiers? What are your thoughts?
So most companies don't even know to look for followers.
Right.
And followership. And so as a result, they cannot spot those special employees that are great followers, that are exemplary followers. And when you can't identify the exemplary followers, it's very difficult in any sort of structured process or organized manner to develop amplifiers. If they do, it's because of happenstance, mm-hmm. not because of any premeditated approach towards developing talent. And so the first step would be to go through, and companies, they have a lot of job performance criteria, and they've got a lot of leadership traits that they're trying to measure. And what I would suggest is the same effort and rigor to identify leadership traits, companies need to go through and identify followership traits.
Sure.
And, you know, I take it one step further, traits, motives, and styles,
mm-hmm.
because I think all three of those are critical. And then for the company, they may have different emphasis on different traits. You know, in the book, I outline far more than I think any company should choose to identify. Frankly, there needs to be a process to go through and identify what is important for them in their particular situation or their particular period in time, and then develop the characteristics of those and the what does it look like and someone demonstrating this trait in low, medium, and high degrees. And then once they do that, then they can start to expand upon that and build out their amplifier traits.
One of the things I enjoy, and you and I have had many conversations about the sport of baseball. Well, it's tough for me to talk about after being a Yankee fan after last night, but I do love the sport as you do. And I think we also have a shared appreciation for the book Moneyball and the concepts behind it. Part of, obviously the whole concept of Moneyball is a small market team finding ways to compete by identifying unique skills and characteristics of players that could realize competitive advantage for them. So you talk about Moneyball a bunch in the book. Do you feel that companies that identify followership, scout for followership, understand the concept of amplifiers, that that's an opportunity for them to realize competitive advantage?
Absolutely. I think at the end of the day, companies compete and win based on their talent.
Yep.
The products that they have, you know, even some of the greatest consumer brand companies in the world, their products need to be reinvigorated and kept current. And that's done through human assets as much as it's done through product innovation and other product characteristics. So the human element at the end of the day, I believe, is what separates the great companies from the good companies, from those that fade away.
Yeah, and it's more important now than ever, right? I mean, labor is more important to a company's strategy than it's ever been. Whether you're in the true people business, like professional services companies or a manufacturing company or a brand marketing company, ultimately it comes down to your people. And I think people now are craving opportunities to grow and develop, right? That's something that they're looking for in their careers. And this idea of investing, not just because not everyone is going to be the defined, you know, artificial leader, right? I think some people are naturally going to be followers. Investing in those traits, identifying those traits, is something that companies need to think about more and more.
Absolutely. I think we're in a labor crunch.
Yeah.
Right now. And those go in cycles. There is the great resettling of human capital that's occurring in the country right now. People are making decisions about the kind of work they want to do, how they want to be challenged, what the purpose of the work they're doing, how they want to balance between how much they work and how much they live, where they want to do that. The kinds of companies they want to work for, the culture, et cetera. And it's for the most part, you know, unless you're a frontline worker, a lot of the knowledge workers, that work's being done remotely. And I suspect that it'll be that way for the next, this big settling of the workforce will occur for the next 18 months at least. And so identifying followers and developing followers and amplifiers will be a challenge over the next period of time. It's one thing when they're in the office or the plant, you can go visit them and have those micro interactions with them. When we're remote or when we're virtual, it's harder to have those micro interactions, the one-off when you're leaving the conference room, you know, so the meeting's over, but you're leaving the conference room on your way back to your office or cube. Mm-hmm. And some of the magic happens in those micro interactions that are offline. It can be direct real-time feedback. It can be another idea that crops up. So there's an awful lot that we're going to have to grapple with as we develop talent in this new environment.
Yeah. So there's one additional topic I wanted to hit upon with you, if I can briefly. So in the context of everything going on in the world today, and obviously, you know, corporate racial justice is something that rightfully so is on a lot of people's mind. Talk about that. And I know you hit upon it in the book, but the concept of amplifiers, why that's more important than ever, considering some of what's going on in the world today.
Yeah. So thank you for asking that question. I do talk about it in the book quite a bit. Two things in there. One is in and around echo chambers. I think they're dangerous, and good followers don't necessarily believe what they hear. They do the research. They investigate. They ask the next two or three questions below what the headline might say. But with respect to corporate racial justice, one of the things that we as leaders in our respective industries need to do a better job of is we have a tendency to pick the same people for strategic projects mm-hmm. or key initiatives. Mm-hmm. And that's a real mistake, not just for compromising our own results, but we put too much work on a select few individuals. But the real gap that we have in that is that we miss a lot of talent and we miss the ability to grow and nurture net new talent. And so when we look at our, you know, as Brandon has our trusted 10, we have the same list for the people that we select for different projects and initiatives. We need to go outside of that and find a new trusted 10 that is far more diverse and leverage that group of people for these strategic projects. They gain access, we gain insights, it helps their career, it helps our strategy, and at the end of the day, the organizations can do much better. The other thing I'll say is the power of three. Mm-hmm. When there are three like-minded or similar points of view, so it could be, you know, gender diversity, or it could be, you know, ethnic or racial diversity, or what have you. Once, you know, that, and it gets back to the lone nut video. The first person that's out there, that the first follower, still could be looked at by the rest of the crowd as the second nut. It's not the lone nut. It's, right. You know, now
this guy's an idiot too.
Yeah. Right. And then it's the next one that comes out, that sort of second follower mm-hmm. is a critical in the piece. It starts to provide safety. And once the third follower, the third person in that cell, it provides enough safety for others to feel like they can voice their real concerns and issues and ideas, and that they'll be accepted. And that's a critical element as well. So it's that, you know, don't pick the same people for the key projects or key positions. You know, go through a conscious, concerted effort to find new people of diverse backgrounds. And then the other is, you know, to think about the power of three. Now, not all teams are big enough for the power of three. So you have to think about how to supplement that in other ways.
So. Yeah, no, I love the concept. I know how important that is to you, both within Clarkston and what we're trying to drive, you know, throughout, you know, the industries we serve. So thanks, Tom, very much for spending a few minutes with me this morning. Again, congrats on the success, and it's well deserved. There's a lot of really, really cool ideas and concepts in the book. Appreciate you sharing some highlights with us.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
And look forward to the next one. I know there's others circulating in your mind, so hopefully it doesn't take another pandemic exactly. for you to put some of those thoughts on paper.
Exactly.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Yep, thanks. You
talk
too.
Soon. Bye. All right. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And Tom, thank you very much for joining. You know, I wasn't joking. Tom has talked about writing a book for a long time. And I was really excited to see when he finally put some of his brilliant mind down on paper. And it really is. It's a fun book to read. It's an easy book to read. And it does, the simplicity of the concepts are really, really applicable, not just in how we lead organizations and how we think about our companies, but also in our own personal lives. And I love that about the book. So appreciate you all listening. We've got some fun things scheduled over the next couple of months on Taking Stock. So appreciate your continued engagement with the podcast, and we'll look forward to talking with you all soon. Have a great day.